want to thank you guys for being here. And thank you this morning for bringing you this morning. The most important thing that you could have brought this morning was yourself. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you for making it happen and being here. And who you are is really important and really valuable to this community. And so just the fact that you're here and that you brought yourself and you came is the most valuable thing that you could bring to that. So thank you for making that sacrifice and for coming. And so this morning, to begin with, I want to tell you guys just a little bit about myself. And as a starting point, I have a deep desire in my life to connect with people. I have a deep desire to be with people, to be known by people, to know other people, to have fellowship, to be in community. And in my life, that's looked like different things. I remember when I was single, there was a gal in our church, and her and I would make the programs, the bulletins for the church every weekend, and we would make those together. And I loved that time. And I would just tell her all kinds of things about myself, and she listened. She would just listen to those, and I would tell her so much about me. I just loved it. It was so amazing. And then there was a period of time in that where I felt like I was obnoxious, or I was sharing too much, or maybe I shouldn't, and I kind of withdrew. And so as we're making those programs, I was kind of not talking very much, kind of silent, yeah, whatever. And then I remember this girl's, she told me, I prayed and asked God to take you out of my life because I was really uncomfortable to be around. And that night I went and I went up on a hill and I prayed, I was thinking and praying all the way till the sun came up and just asking God, like, please don't take this girl out of my life, even though I'm obnoxious. And I feel this in me, like, I really want to connect with people, I want to be in community, but at the same time, it's really hard. I'm afraid of it, and I'm afraid of the rejection that might happen. I'm afraid of what it'll hurt if I get close to somebody and they abandon me or hurt me. I'm afraid of what I will do to people. What if they knew me? I tend to hurt people I'm close to. I mean, conflict comes when I'm close with people, and so I kind of hold myself away, and I kind of have walked through this place of, should I be close to people? Should I not? I don't know. I want to, but maybe I shouldn't. And I remember when I was single as well, I was really struggling with discouragement, just feeling like a failure, feeling like it would be better if I wasn't around people. And we went dancing, and I kind of hung to myself a little bit. And a person at on my small group that night just came to me, and I what's going on? And listened to me. And I shared what was going on. And afterwards, they said to me, I still think you're cool. And those words were so meaningful to me. So much of like, you knew who I was and you were okay with that. Like, it was okay to be me. It was okay to like, let you know that I have weaknesses and I have trials. I have needs. I have things that are tough in my life. And those don't have to turn somebody away. And so there's this, some deep things that go into that in my life. And even now being married, there have been times when I have laid in bed next to the woman of my dreams and in the dark cried because I felt so lonely. And I don't say that as a disrespect to my wife. She's an amazing person and a blessing to anybody who would get to know her. But just that there's a place of feeling disconnected from people. Even when we're with people, I've walked through these doors and been here in a meeting around people, around all of you, and felt completely lonely because I just didn't feel connected. And I know other people have experienced that too. And so this place of wanting to wanting to be connected and also feeling a need, like in my life, I need to be alone. I need to be disconnected from people too. It was my dream. I finished high school. My plan was to go and study wildlife biology and get a job in the mountains and work with county wildlife and not have to deal with people. And I wouldn't have to deal with their mess, and they certainly wouldn't have to deal with all the junk that is in me. And we need to be alone. We need that. And so I find that in this world we live in, this is a real thing. They did a study and they said about 25% of people struggle with feeling lonely on a very regular basis. And that's men and women. It's married, people in relationships, people that are very successful across the board. People have this loneliness, this desire to be connected. And then there's also this place of people don't know how to disconnect, where we need approval from one another. We need to always have somebody liking something so that we know that we have value. And so what does God say about this? Are we supposed to be connected to people? Are we supposed to be separate? How does he want us to live? How are we meant to navigate this? And what I've seen as I have just studied and grown in my relationship with God is that, like so many things, what God wants is both. He wants us to be connected to people, and he also wants us to be separate from people. And sometimes we want one or the other, but God, in his amazingness, calls us into that, to both. We are called to be connected to people. We were created to be. When God created the universe and everything, and he created the first person, and he said, "It is good. Everything is good." And then the first time he says, "It's not good for the man to be alone." We were created to need people, to be with people, to be connected to people. We were created to love other people. And then not long after he says, "But a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife." There's also a call in our life at certain times to disconnect from people. And that's hard sometimes. It's hard to allow ourselves to disconnect from people. And at different places and different times and different situations, we have a call. We are individuals before God. And we will be judged individually. We won't stand together, I don't think, in my understanding, and say, "Okay, tell me about the life of the Rio." We'll stand before God one day and our life individually will be examined. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for the amazing blessing of connection with other people. God, I thank you for giving me connections in my life. I thank you for this community. I thank you for the blessing of these people. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for my wife and family. Thank you for putting a longing in our hearts to be loved and to love and providing that. And thank you for the separateness. God, I pray you teach us in this, that you would help us to navigate that you would walk us through that in a really beautiful and healthy way. I give you just this time. Thank you for what you're teaching me. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to start with Acts 2:42. And so in the book of Acts, Jesus had been crucified. He was buried and died. Died first, then he was buried. And then he rose from the dead to be the first one resurrected ahead of all of us. And he rose from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. And then he told his followers, he said, "Wait here in Jerusalem because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." And so they all waited in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came. And he came with power in their lives. And they started speaking in tongues and preaching, and these amazing miracles were being performed. The Holy Spirit was performing powerful things. And as they started testifying and preaching, thousands of people heard the message and responded and were baptized and put their faith in Jesus, receiving eternal life, receiving salvation. And so that's where we're at. There's, as we jump in Acts 2:42, and it says these people, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Cool. Isn't that beautiful? There's something in me that just, wow, that just connects with me. Yeah. They lived together. They shared everything. If anyone was in need, there was no one in need. Because if there was any needs, they met those needs. They met in fellowship. They prayed. They enjoyed this spiritual life together. They broke bread together. They shared house. They met house to house and in the temple courts. They met collectively and individually. They loved each other. And there was this powerful thing. God was moving in powerful ways and people were coming and joining. And there might be something in us that goes, oh, whoa. Together all the time, sharing all that stuff. Oh my goodness. But there's something in us that connects. Yeah. We weren't meant to be alone. We were called to be together. We were. To be in community, to be in fellowship. And I think that's an important reason for why we're here this morning. Because we need community. You could hear a better preacher on the internet at home. But you can't get real community on the internet. This is real community where you see somebody and touch somebody, eye to eye, talk to somebody. And we need that. We were made for that. We were made to experience love, not just like from God directly, but from God through other people. We were made to experience that. Our spiritual lives are connected to others. They are, as we unite in prayer, in fellowship, in communion, in our time together. We were not meant to live in isolation. That was not God's way. We were meant to live in community. We are meant to share life and love and faith together. And it's cool, these guys sharing life together. Fellowship to me means your fellowship, yours together. It's not even there's a specific regimented idea. It's just the fellowship. We're just together. And they shared life. They shared food with each other. They shared money. They shared possessions. They shared daily life. I think we were meant for that. We were meant to share Super Bowls together and share camping trips and share life, share the things of life together. We were meant to share love together. To truly love each other and communicate that. To truly let somebody know how important they are and to communicate the value of one another to one another. And to share in those needs. Certainly physical needs are really important, but also the emotional needs and the social needs, the spiritual needs that we have. To love each other enough to care about those. And then to share faith, to pray together, to teach and to encourage each other. All of that is really important to share together. So that sounds great. How do we stay connected to other people? How do we make those connections? How do we truly love each other? How do we forge those connections? Here's just a few thoughts. I think the first thing is a perspective of who we are. This may even be the most important. In order to connect to other people and let people connect to me, I have to know who we are according to the gospel, according to the good news of what Jesus has done. And the good news of what Jesus has done is that Jesus has accepted me. Broken, imperfect. I could never, ever be good enough. I could never, ever fix myself. I can never, ever attain righteousness or attain a place where I meet any standards. I can't meet my standards. I can't meet your standards. I can't meet God's standards. I cannot be good enough or perfect enough. And in the middle of that, Jesus said, I'll be willing to take that on me. And on the cross, he took our imperfection. And so those things that people want to laugh about me, they can laugh about Jesus because it's on him now. And then he took it and he overcame that. He rose from the dead. He put it on himself. He died. He overcame it. And in the middle of that, I am different. He sees me different. I am accepted. I am loved as I am. And I have spent a lot of my life, and I still fall into it, trying to live up to a standard, trying to be good enough. Even this morning, I didn't have time to shave. I'm like, I wish I had time to shave. I'd look nicer. People would probably appreciate me more. And what do I try to do? What do I try to shave in order to impress God? Oh, maybe this week if I can do my spiritual shaving in the Bible, then God will be like, okay, now you look good. Go ahead and come over here. In Christ, God accepts us completely. I'm completely accepted. In Christ, you are completely accepted. That's amazing. And for that reason, I don't have to worry about the rejection. When I walk in who I really am, I don't have to worry about the rejection. I don't have to worry about trying to measure up. I don't have to worry about trying to be good enough for somebody. And the beautiful thing is, then I can see somebody else that way. You know that really annoying, weird guy that's like kind of hard to love? God loves him. God cares about him. God accepts him as a really weird, annoying dude. And you see that really weird, annoying guy? God accepts him. And I'm able to. I'm able to accept other people without them cleaning up their act first. One of the ways to make these connections are to truly care for other people. I think most of us would love to wait for somebody else to connect with us. But if we truly care for somebody else, if we truly listen to what's going on in their life, not just listening so that, okay, you're done with your story, I got a story just like it. But like truly listening to them and like hearing their needs and wants and desires and situations. And we need to put ourselves in community. It's so easy to disconnect. And Paul says that, like, don't stop meeting together. There's something in me that would be like, I'm going to stop meeting together. I go there, whatever thoughts I have. I guess that makes sense, right? How do we connect with people? Be with people. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. But sometimes that's hard to do. Put ourselves in community. Put ourselves in a small group, in a place. Reach out to somebody. Hey, you want to hang out? Be united in something bigger than ourselves, I think, is really important. Is it just about us, or are we really, do we have a connection that's for something greater? And when I am connected with people with something greater, whether that's just as in a place of work, of trying to create and do a job, or trying to bring a greater good to this world, there's a connection that's formed in that that's really powerful. And we unite together in something bigger than ourselves. Another one is to be open. This is really hard, but if we only let the outside of us be known, then it's really hard to make that connection that we were wired to have. We were meant to have deep, loving relationships, to love each other deeply from the heart, not just on the superficial level. And that's scary. That's really scary. Especially if, you know, we've been hurt. But in those safe places, and I hope everybody in here feels a safe place, at least with a number of people here where they could truly let themselves be known, truly let somebody see the things that they believe and struggle with and the things that they care about, and to be completely accepted in that, just like Jesus accepted us. And to have a place where we don't have to put on any facade or any front. Just,
yeah.
And that's where a powerful connection happens. Another thing is to learn to understand ourselves. It's interesting, as I was reading about loneliness and how big of a problem is, I was surprised. Some of the research is saying loneliness actually reduces your lifespan. It's like, whoa, that's wild. Loneliness actually has health implications that come from that. A lot of the researchers are saying loneliness is kind of like hunger or thirst. It's just wired into us. And loneliness is saying, hey, you need to connect with people. But it's different because when you're hungry, you're not like, oh man, something's wrong with me. I'm hungry again. I can't believe it. Man, I must be a sinner. Like, I'm hungry. I was hungry yesterday too. No, it's like, man, I'm hungry. I need food. And the research saying that's what loneliness is. I'm lonely. I need to connect to somebody. I need to be in fellowship. And instead we say, oh, I can't believe I'm lonely. Something's wrong. Beat myself up. So, and I'm in a group of people and I'm feeling lonely. Oh, nobody wants to see me because I'm the lonely guy. Instead of saying, whoa, this loneliness is a desire, right? It's something in me. God put that in me. How can I connect to somebody? I'm thirsty. I don't try to get rid of my thirst. I try to find some water. That's really a beautiful thing. And to understand ourselves, what is that in me? What do I need? What am I looking for? What satisfies that place? Because I believe it's from God, it's not just like a horrible thing that, like, you know, the devil made me lonely. It's like, and in that, sometimes we need social circles and intimate attachments, which is why we can be lonely sometimes, even in a marriage or in a really close relationship. Because, like, we need that, and we also need a network. We need a connection to other people, too. But we also sometimes like, man, I have all these connections, but I'm missing like just a really close friend that I can truly share the depths with. I can find that counsel from. And so just another idea is to be alone and be okay with ourselves. It actually helps us to connect with people if we learn how to be alone. And when we take the time to be alone, then we can be comfortable with people because we're comfortable with ourselves alone. And being alone is really important. Just as we all have a need, we were all meant for togetherness, we were all meant for separateness also. We are called to be separate. And I want to read this section. If you guys will... if you have a Bible, turn in your Bible or on your phone or you can Google it. We're going to go to John 21, starting in verse 15. So the backstory is Peter is like Jesus' main follower. He's like his closest comrade. And Peter's a pretty hot-headed dude. And before Jesus was betrayed and killed, Peter told him, I will never deny you. I will stick by your side if they kill me, if it doesn't matter what they do to me. And Jesus is like, well, in so many words, don't get too cocky because you're actually going to totally disown me. In fact, you're going to do it 3 times. In fact, you're going to do it in the next 24 hours. And so Peter does. Peter, in front of other people, denies Jesus. I have no idea who that is. Nope. And the beautiful thing is after Jesus comes back from the dead, he comes to Peter and he restores him. And I imagine Peter's so full of shame and guilt and he just totally messed up. Not only that, but he was totally humbled. And so starting in 15, this is where we pick up. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And this time he actually used a different word for love. It's kind of like, he's kind of like saying, "Do you even like me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you even like me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I like you, that I love you." That's what it says. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that the disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Really cool. And what a wild place he's saying there. Well, first he tells him, "Hey, I just want to let you know you're going to suffer a horrible death. And people are going to tie you up, they're going to drag you away, and they're going to kill you." And so the first thing out of Peter's mouth is, "Well, what about that guy? What's going to happen to him?" And in so many words, he says, "Don't worry about him. I might bless him. I might let him live forever. But you follow me." And in that, there's a separateness. Our spiritual lives are separate from one another. And the things that God has called us into are different than what he's called other people into. Even people in our own house. And it's so easy, I think, pick whatever it is on maybe on Facebook that you might see and be like, "Man, but God, what about that person? God, these are the struggles I have. What about that person? How come they don't have those struggles?" And God says, "Forget that. This is where I've called you. Will you follow me?" "Ah, but look what they have. Can I have that too?" "Don't worry about what they have. Follow me." "Sheesh, but this is really hard in my life. There's some things I've been denied. What about them? Why weren't they denied that? Why did I have this loss? What about them? Why didn't they experience that loss?" What does it matter to you if I let them have a different loss? Will you follow me? I think that's so powerful. In that separateness, will we follow? Our spiritual lives are distinct from others. We were not meant to live off someone else's spirituality or approval. We were called to disconnect from that approval from others. We are meant to develop our own individual relationship with God. And of course, as we're young kids and we grow up, there's a lot more attachment. There's a lot more. My spirituality is directly connected to my kids. They pray when I pray. They're totally connected. And as we grow, we have a disconnect from people. That's a good thing. But we still need to keep those connections. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go through a bunch of these. I was just had some thoughts. How do we develop that kind of not depending on one another's approval, not depending on one another's walks with God, certainly benefiting from one another, but developing our own walk with God. I do think there's a huge difference between being lonely and being alone. And being lonely is a place where inside of us we're saying, I need to connect with people. Because we do. We need to be connected to other people. And as much as you want to get away into the mountains like I do and hide away from everybody and live on your own, whatever, sailboat in the ocean, God called us to be together with other people. But being alone can be different. Being alone, we need to be alone as well. Loneliness feels draining and distracting, upsetting, but desired solitude feels peaceful, creative, and restorative. I absolutely agree with that. My time alone with God is recharging and refreshing and beautiful and not lonely at all. And then there's other times when I am disconnected from people and their presence is a blessing. It soaks in of love and care. Together we can thrive individually, connected and distinct. I want to have you guys do something. I have some stickers for you guys. This is a sticker, and on it says, "You make a difference in my life." And what I want you guys, what I want to ask you guys to do is to take a sticker, and I want you to take a sticker, and I want you to share with somebody how that person makes a difference in your life. And I want you can either peel it off and stick it on them, or you can just give it to them as you like. But I want you to take the time to appreciate what God has given us in other people. And so I wanted to model that for you. If it's going to be awkward for you guys, I'll make it extra awkward for me. But I just wanted to take a moment and tell you, Holly, that you make a difference in my life. And you guys are allowed to cry too, because crying is an expression of trust, and trust is a way to develop a depth of relationship with people. And those years when we made programs together and you listened to the things that I said and didn't give up on me, even when I withdrew and was uncomfortable to be around, has meant a lot to me. And the time when I was discouraged and you said to me, "I still think you're cool," and all the ways that throughout the years you continue to say to me in the midst of my own failures, "I still think you're cool," has meant a lot to me, and you mean a lot in my life. So come on up here so I can give you a sticker. Let's pray and sing a couple more songs to God. Thank you, God. God, I thank you for putting people in my life that love me. God, sometimes I hate that desire I have, that need I have to connect with people. I wish I didn't need anyone and I could just live alone and be content. And yet I thank you for fellowship. I thank you for love. I thank you for the things that have been spoken into my soul through people that love me. I ask that you would teach us to walk together and to be willing to be separate too. Thank you for accepting us as we are. In Jesus' name, amen.